Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy New Year. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Man, is it great to be back. Thank you so much for being here. I've missed you guys a ton. It is great to be back chatting Green Bay Packers football with you. We've got a lot to go over. As you can tell, I'm still not 100%. By the way, if you have been able to avoid all of the plagues that are going on out there right now, congratulations, and please avoid them at all costs. There's a bunch of crap going around all over the place, and it is not fun. All different stuff, but I'm getting there. I'm getting better. I feel so much better today. And right now, there's nothing that was going to stop me from talking Packers today. So really great to be back. And again, thank you so much for being here. I also want to shout out Dan, Jimmy, Jacob, and Jacob for filling in the last couple of days. I can't tell you how unbelievable it is to have a whole team of people who are unbelievable people and unbelievable podcasters to fill in when I have stuff like this come out. So thank you for checking them out. They did an unbelievable job. Also, if you have yet to check out Jen Mackey's interview, she did an interview with a family friend who was at the Ice Bowl commemorating the anniversary of the Ice Bowl. This unbelievable interview. Make sure to check that out as well. But to again, Jacob, Jimmy, and Dan for filling in. Thank you guys so incredibly much. And I also want to thank you, all of our viewers and listeners. 2024 was unbelievable. We had over 7 million views on YouTube, which is just mind-blowing. We had over 1.5 million hours watched on YouTube, which is mind-blowing. We gained over 11,000 subscribers. And we had over 5.7 million audio downloads on the audio side. So 5.7 million downloads on audio, 7 million views on YouTube. We're talking over 12.7 million either downloads or views in 2024. I don't even know where to begin to thank you all for that. So thank you for making Pack-A-Day so successful in 2024. We are on to an even more unbelievable and incredible and better 2025. So buckle in. And there's no better way to kick things off as a Packers fan, of course, than by starting 2025 with a win over the Chicago Bears. And let them be undefeated in 2025 for what, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4.5 days. They get 4.5 days of being undefeated in 2025. And then reality will come crashing back down. They'll start their 2025 0-1, and the Packers will start 1-0, and all will be right in the world. Some things are just meant to be, but looking forward to it. Like I said, 2025 is going to be epic, and really looking forward to this playoff run as well. I also want to shout out our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Jacob Thomas and Ivan Bogdow. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. If you have not yet checked out memberships, make sure to do so. Also want to shout out our partners, Luigi's Pizza and Habish Habish Rotier. Make sure to support our partners. They're supporting us. They've reached out to us directly to support the Pack-A-Day Podcast, just like you guys are doing. So anything that you can do to support them as well, we appreciate a ton. All right. I obviously have been out, so I haven't had the opportunity to talk about the Vikings game and some things that have happened since then. Let's start with that Vikings game. For me, this was the toughest loss of the season. Not necessarily based on what happened in the game, not necessarily because they couldn't get the ball back with an opportunity to win or anything like that. Just because at some point you wanted some proof that this team could beat a good team, and you were hoping to get that before the start of the playoffs. Now, if they get it in the playoffs, it's fine, but you were hoping to see proof of that prior to the start of the playoffs, and we didn't get that. And as we've kind of made our way through this season, you know, you've had those five opportunities now, right? Against five good teams, the Philadelphia Eagles in the opening game, and Green Bay loses that, and you kind of point to, well, it's a neutral field. It's the first week of the season. Weird things happen in week one. Philly's a really good team. You've got the Love injury at the end, and you start maybe saying, yeah, all right, it's not a huge deal, right? You can put that one to the side. And then you get to the Vikings game, and it's like, yeah, you know, they went down 28-0. They had the comeback, but Jordan wasn't himself that game. He was beat up. He clearly came back a little bit too early, and you maybe try to put that one to the side a little bit. Lions game, lose that one by 10 points. What was it, 24-14, something to that effect. And, you know, it's basically you have the pick six before halftime. Things don't go according to plan. And again, you're kind of not necessarily, again, forgiving everything, but you're kind of explaining away. Jordan clearly still was not himself, was injured again. And, you know, we'll see what happens later. And then you get that next Lions game. And there's less to kind of point to in that one. There's less excuses. We'll just call them what they are. But you're like, oh, they were this close. Like they almost won that game. They were this close. Easily could have won the game. Couple, you know, ball bounces a different way if they get the ball one more time, whatever it might be. But it was this close, right? But you kind of knew going into that last Minnesota game. Yes, Green Bay had some injuries, right? There's no two ways around that. There were some significant injuries for Green Bay. Christian Watson, Jaire Alexander. We don't need to go through all of them, but there were significant injuries in the game. And even with that, though, you kind of knew that this was going to be a big game for Green Bay. You wanted to see proof that Green Bay could go on the road and get a big win. You wanted to see them not go 0-4 against Detroit and Minnesota. You wanted to have them have the opportunity to get the 5 or at least the 6 seed and try to avoid the number 7 seed. And you just wanted to see, again, this team go out and play its best football against a really good team. And you didn't get that. You got a team that had basically the exact same formula that they've used in their other losses that included a lot of self-inflicted wounds, a lot of sloppy football, and just leaving you, and yes, a little comeback at the end gets you a little bit excited of like, oh, could they do this? Could they pull this off? But it comes up a little bit short because you are so behind the eight ball from another really big early deficit. And you go down 3 scores at one point. That's so hard to come back against Minnesota. And credit to the team for fighting and not giving up and yada, yada, and blah, blah, blah. At some point, when you go down 28-0 and, you know what, 24-3 and 17-7 and down by 17 in this game, it's going to come back to haunt you. It's not going to be enough. You're not going to be able to come back. And for me, that's where the tough part of this was that they kind of knew going in what their formula was for failure. To have all these mistakes, these drops, these penalties, these really slow starts to games. And yet here we were in the penultimate game of the regular season in their last chance to really go out and show like, yep, we can beat a good team on the road. And it was the exact same game. It was the exact same problems. And it leaves like at some point, it leaves you feeling of like, this is who they are. This is a really good team that can take care of the bad teams, but not a great team that can beat the good teams. And I'll be clear, and we're going to talk about more on this in just a moment, but I'm not saying they can't. I'm not saying that they can't pick up a big win in the wild card round or the divisional round or something like that, but they certainly haven't shown it. And this was the first game for me all season long where I really, as the game was going on, where there was a true level of frustration and maybe even just disappointment with how the team managed and handled that game. It just felt like, I don't know if it was, I guess to some extent it was a lack of preparation because Matt LaFleur was very transparent about they weren't ready for a bunch of man coverage. I mean, credit to Peter Bukowski. Peter Bukowski going into the game but the day before, he even said like, hey, Green Bay struggled more with man coverage lately. I wonder if Minnesota will go outside of their norm and play more man coverage. Like even he had posed the question of like, hey, this could be something that Minnesota toys with a little bit because Green Bay has struggled a little bit with man coverage and they'll be likely missing Christian Watson. I mean, kudos to him for potentially seeing that. And Green Bay did not see it coming. And what's unfathomable to me about that is I don't care if they decide if they came out in a and we're going to play cover 6 the entire like something completely random or weird. Like I don't, no matter what. It's not like they like invented this new defense. It wasn't like, you know, the first time Miami came out in the Wildcat against New England and New England just had no idea what to do with it because nobody in the NFL had run any Wildcat up at that point. It's not like Minnesota showed them something that like, oh, how could we have prepared? It was man coverage. It was man coverage. This should not be something that is like, oh my God. They went man coverage? How? They're like, yeah, you have to start flipping through manuals and like textbooks and like getting everyone huddled. Like, time out. How are we going to possibly deal with man coverage? And I'm being over the top on this, you know, obviously, but how that is something that can break you, and because you weren't prepared for it, who the hell cares? Again, it's not like this is some trick formation or unscouted look that you've never seen before. It is man coverage. This is install 101 of like, yeah, all right, get the man beaters out. All right, we have a whole playbook for that. We've run through this stuff against multiple teams before. Maybe you didn't rep it a ton in practice during the week. That's okay. Oh, the first play they have man defense. All right, let's get some of those prepared just in case. Like let's call some of these up. Like how you cannot make a change that quick to something like that is a little bit stunning, a little bit unnerving, if I'm being honest. But when you add in again, people will shout out like, oh, they took the ball again. I have no problem. I'm a huge fan of taking the ball. I've said this for a long time. I always want the ball. I just want the ball. I want to go down and set the tone right away. The tone you can't set is, oh, here's the football. Here, you have it. We don't want it. And I like Josh Jacobs has been amazing, right? Like player 1A on the team, arguably at this point. Like he may have even surpassed David McKinney. He's at least in that conversation, right? Like they're in the conversation for which player's best on the team. Whichever one he was like, he's been unbelievable. You had a bad fumble and you're certainly not going to hold that just against him, but it's the worst possible scenario to start the game. And then some of the fourth down decisions, like if people are going to point, I can't believe you went for it on fourth down. I have no issue whatsoever with him on the first drive in a vacuum, kicking that field goal. I have no issue on the second drive in a vacuum with him deciding to go for that. What I absolutely hate is going for one and kicking the other. If the scenario changed, right, or something, and it made sense, so be it. But the scenario didn't change. And the reason that I say that is I kind of want to go into the game feeling like, all right, in fourth and short scenarios, or if we get, you know, chances to take points, we're going to take points against this team. That's what we want to do, and we're going to be consistent with that throughout the game. If we have an opportunity for points, we're going to take points. We think this is going to be, any points we can get is going to be advantageous. Let's go into it with that idea. On the flip side, if you feel like, hey, we feel like we need to be aggressive in this game, and we're going to be aggressive, then go into the game saying we're going to be aggressive. The reason that I say that is if you just need one of those two drives to result in a touchdown when you're going for it on fourth down to pay it off. You're going to get 7 points in that scenario, and that's better than the two field goals that you would have taken. But when you take the first field goal, I feel much more strong about taking the second field goal and getting points again in that situation because you've already decided once that you weren't going to be aggressive. All right, so let's keep the same, keep the same idea of let's continue to get points. I hate the, like, we're just going to go with a gut feel sort of scenario. I want a conviction going into the game of today's going to be an aggressive day. We're going to go for it. Or you know what? We feel like we want points in this game. I'm cool with either, by the way. I would generally prefer going for it in both of those scenarios. I think that would have been the more advantageous play. But I'm fine if they would have decided to kick on both. But I just wish it would have been not this middle ground of, oh, on the goal line. And if you are going to go for it, I would almost have rather it flipped, right? If you're going to go for it in the goal line, go for it when you're on the 4-yard line. And you might say, well, things are more condensed. Yes, but you have to look at the other side of it. You know, if you kick the field goal in that situation, you're getting 3 points, but you're also giving it to them at the 30-plus yard line. Like, they're already, like, you know, couple big plays away from field goal range themselves to tie it back up. You're not gaining a ton. At least if you're down at the 4-yard line, you miss it. They're on their own, you know, inside their own 5, and you're putting your defense in a great position, and you might get it back in great field position, setting you up for at minimum that field goal that you were just going to get anyway. So I really disagreed with that first field goal attempt. But again, if you're going to do it there, then certainly do it on the next one too. Take the points. That's what you've decided to do. I hate that middle ground of, oh, we're going to kick it here, we're going to go for it here. And again, even if it would have been that, I would have rather it been the other way around. Because on the fourth and whatever it was, when you're on like the 20, 25 yard line, whatever that one was, you pick up the first down there, you're still not guaranteed a touchdown, right? At least if you convert on the one at the 4 yard line, at least it's a touchdown because there's it's fourth and goal. You know, at least that one's going to be a touchdown. You convert on the second one, you still might go three and out from there and have to settle for a field goal anyway. So I really disagreed with that order of operations and just the kind of the mindset there. And again, in a vacuum, I don't mind either decision, but both of them sort of combined, I really, really disliked in this one. But beyond, again, nitpicking, and we're kind of past at this point, I think going over probably individual plays or individual moments, just wasn't good enough. And again, maybe you could at different points against Detroit and Minnesota, Philly earlier in the year, make some certain excuses in those games as to why Green Bay didn't play as well. This one had the feel of like you had every right to be able to go into Minnesota and win that game. That's not taking anything away from Minnesota, who, if anyone is still on the Vikings aren't actually good or whatever, like they're an unbelievably good football team. I really truly believe that. I hate to say it. I'm not proud saying that or anything. Like they are a very good football team. But I thought Green Bay had every right to beat them and go in there and get that win in Minnesota. And it just felt like they had another C+, B- effort. And that's just not good enough. And I mean, man, I get the spin on it, right? I get the spin of like, man, they play C+, B- football and they almost win these games. Like they almost beat Minnesota. They almost beat Philly. They almost beat Detroit. They almost beat Minnesota. Like they come back and they look good at times, but it's not complete enough. And now it's to the point where like there's a pattern here. You can see the issue over and over in the five games against better teams. So that to me, this was the hardest loss for me, just kind of watching it and like coming back to reality a little bit of like, this might be a team that is still a little ways off, that doesn't quite have that ability to kind of get out of their own way yet. Good team, no question. Really good team, maybe. Great team, not so sure yet. Do I think they can be? Absolutely. And like I said, we're going to talk about more on that in just a moment. Then of course, everyone wants to get to like the root causes, right? And tear apart like the little things and get to like the cores of the problem. And the one that's been coming up a lot that I've seen is the weapons. The number one, Green Bay has to have a number one wide receiver. How they just can't survive without a number one wide receiver. I talked about this a little a couple weeks back. When I started talking, somebody brought up, or I don't know, it got brought up in a chat or some way we started talking about Davante Adams. And I'm like, the answer is still no, and we're not going to talk about this. But like watching him again, I was like, oh, like that is very tempting. He's unbelievable. And getting somebody like that on your roster could be really, really important, really, really fun. I'm not saying that it's this terrible or awful idea, but I'm not to the point yet where I think that Green Bay is in a situation where they do not have enough weapons. And let me be crystal clear. Jaden Reed's got to stop dropping the ball. Dontavian Wicks has to be better than what he has been this season. That has been a disappointment. I think Romeo Doubs needs to be more consistent. I think Christian Watson needs to get healthy, kind of, you know, as much as it pains me to say this, you know, kind of per usual, right? Like he needs to stay healthy. He needs to be out there. I still am of the belief, and I really truly mean this, that if you've got Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, Josh Jacobs, with guys like Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks and Bo Melton and Malik Heath, there's enough there. I really truly believe that. If you have what I still believe is an unbelievable offensive mind in Matt LaFleur and one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, which I believe is in Jordan Love, that has to be like, that should be enough for the second highest paid quarterback and one of the brightest minds, offensive minds in football as your head coach. That's enough weapons. And Josh Jacobs, like you have the weapons that you need. Jacobs, Reed, Kraft, those are your run after the catch guys. You get the ball in their hands, make stuff happen. Christian Watson's your deep guy. Romeo Doubs, your enemy. Like, I still feel like they have more than enough to be successful. It's not to say that they couldn't, you know, use an upgrade. It's not to say that it's not been unfortunate that one of these guys has not stepped up more in a more significant way, but I still wholeheartedly believe that there's enough talent there. You're not going to have perfect scenarios everywhere. Like no team has that. And to me, they still have more than enough weaponry to make this offense go. And by the way, they're the eighth highest scoring offense in the NFL. We're not talking about some offense that's middle of the pack, just dregs of the league. Like they're right there, and they haven't even clicked anywhere near on all cylinders yet. And if they do, I still feel like they can be a top three, top two, maybe even number one offense in this league. But they do absolutely need to play better. To me, this goes to execution and guys trying to do too much and just converting the simple stuff is what's getting in the way, not a lack or dearth of talent. I truly believe that on offense. So to me, maybe we'll get there. Maybe I'll get there is maybe a better way to put it. Maybe we'll go into the offseason. I'll say, yep, I've thought about this more and they need to add a alpha wide receiver. Right now, I really, truly don't believe that. I think they have more than enough weapons. They just have to go out and execute. And it's been a problem. It's been a problem. Got to catch the ball. It's an important part of the receiving process is actually coming down with the completion. It's a very important piece. I know that they can be better. I very much believe that. And I think they will be. I think, and again, I've been saying that. I get it. And at some point, you have to go out and prove it. I think they'll go out and prove it. But if they don't, all right, we're going to have a different conversation about it. But I still believe that the overall weapons and weaponry needed is there. Now they have to go out and prove it.
Hey friends, we're about to kick off the new year and there's no better way to start 2025 than by winning. And right now on Prize Picks, you can win up to 1,000 times your money. And that's because Prize Picks is the best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. Prize Picks also offers a variety of weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts like Taco Tuesday when Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25% to provide even more value for your lineups. Make your Prize Picks in fewer than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Caleb Williams to throw at least one interception, Brandon McManus to connect on two or more field goals, and I'm going to take as many Packers sacks as I can get. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup by using code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Now, on the other side is some of the defensive concerns. Pass rush is, to me, still the 1A issue on this team. That is the one that I still cannot get over of. I think there's a solution on this roster. I'm not sure that there is. I have the toughest time with that. Corner is still a big question mark for me. I feel like the corner position would be sufficient because of the safety play if they had a pass rush. But if you don't have a pass rush, it really makes corner that much more of an issue. And I saw a lot of people talking about, like, why is Green Bay playing all this off coverage and zone coverage? I thought Jeff Hafley was going to be more of a press man-to-man guy. Like, what the hell is going on here? He is coaching the defense that he has. If anyone thinks that going man-to-man coverage with no pass rush with these corners against Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison would have been a good idea, I've got some bad news for you. That would have been a nightmare. Kevin O'Connell would have been doing cartwheels on the sidelines if he saw Stokes and Valentine and Nixon going man-to-man against their wide receivers with this pass rush. It would have been an absolute nightmare. You just can't do it. It's a nightmare waiting to happen. So you have that, like, they played the version of football that they had to play against this team with the matchups that they had. But you still have to be able to get home. Brenton Cox was okay, but it's the same thing. LVN is a no-show as a pass rusher. Rashawn Gary has not been the menace that they need him to be. Kenny Clark is not winning enough and not quick enough in the middle. Devontae Wyatt, I thought, showed up well until he went out with a concussion. But they need so much more from this pass rush. And that, to me, is still the number one issue. And the one thing that I would be most concerned about as Green Bay tries to make any sort of run in the playoffs. I think everything else they can overcome. That's the one I don't think that I'm not sure that they're going to be able to. Like, you have to have a really good pass rush going into the playoffs. You have to be able to get home with four with some level of consistency and give your defensive backfield a chance. And without that, it's so hard. It's just so insanely hard. You're putting your defensive coordinator in no man's land. And I don't know that there is, you can't just fix it with smoke and mirrors or, you know, tape and whatever, glue. You have to be able to win your one-on-ones. And Jeff Hafley's tried everything. Twists, stunts, you know, simulated pressures, bringing four guys on one side. Like, he's doing everything that he can. But at some point, you just got to beat the guy across from you. And Green Bay's defensive front guys are just not doing that enough. And that is the biggest problem on this team right now, other than, of course, still all the self-inflicted wounds. So this team's got to find a way to grow up, calm down, not try to do too much, and play within themselves, get hot at the right time, and somehow, some way, find a way for this pass rush group to get hungry and capable at the right time. Because right now, that to me is still the Achilles heel of this team and is the biggest concern that I still have, as they have one game left in the regular season and then get ready for the playoffs. All right, that's what I kind of have seen and just kind of wanted to go over some of the conversations going on over the last few days. What I want to talk about today, Happy New Year, are the Packers frauds? Let's talk about that. This is not meant to be a negative-leaning conversation, although I don't know how it's probably going to get viewed as anything besides that. But I think again, maybe this was just this Vikings game breaking me to some small extent. But after this latest loss to the Vikings, I kind of wanted to look back and say, who are these Green Bay Packers? And what I mean by these Green Bay Packers, I mean the 2023-2024 Green Bay Packers, the Jordan Love era Green Bay Packers. There's two seasons, right? They were 10-9 last year, including the playoffs. They're 11-5 this year. So 21-14 over their last 35 games over the course of the regular season and postseason, both last year and this year. So 21-14, that's a fairly good record, right? What I wanted to look at is, all right, what about against bad teams and against good teams? Well, against teams that are 500 or under, they're 13-5. They're beating up pretty good on the bad teams. And if you kind of, like, a lot of those losses were early last year when they were still kind of finding themselves. And since then, they've been really, really good against bad teams. But 13-5 in their 18 games against below 500 teams, they're taking care of business against the bad teams. Well, what about the teams that are above 500? How are they doing against those teams? They're 8-9. That's not bad. They're almost a 500 team against teams that have a winning record. That's like, if you would have like said like what would I have expected? But like, you know, I would probably expected worse than that. Like they're 8-9 against teams that are 500 or above. That feels pretty good to me. That doesn't sound so bad. But I think you need to look at those 8 wins to kind of break it down a little bit further. Who are those 8 wins that they have had that have been against quote unquote good teams over the last two seasons? Well, the first one was the win against the Saints last year, who went on to be a 9-8 team, but there was a non-playoff team. They weren't a very good team. It's still a Derek Carr-led, you know, New Orleans Saints team. And they had every right to lose that game, right? They should have absolutely lost that game. Saints let them come back at the end. You're not apologizing for it, but they'll take the win. I'll just put it that way. But that was against a 9-8 Saints team, non-playoff team, right? It's an okay win. It's certainly not a signature win, not a good win, not a great win. It's a fine win, all right? That's number one. That's one of their 8 good wins, if you will. The next one was against the eventual 10-7 LA Rams, who did go on to make the playoffs last year. Except that was with Brett Rippon at quarterback, not Matthew Stafford. And their backup quarterback in, they were not the same team. I think they scored 3 points in that game. That's not a good win. All right. So those first two, all right, now you're down to kind of 6 wins left. Then you had the wins against the Lions on Thanksgiving and the Chiefs at home. A+, unbelievable quality wins. If you want proof that I know that's the 2023 Packers, but if you want proof that this version of the Jordan Love Packers and this team over the last 2 years can win big games, those are your two that you're looking at. Lions on the road on Thanksgiving, Chiefs at home the next week with the big Keyshawn Nixon interception at the end. There's nothing taken away from either of those wins. Tough, hard-fought wins, good wins, both phenomenal A+. All right, not taking anything away from those. All right, then your next quality win is against the Dallas Cowboys. They were 12-5. So clearly, like, that's a really good win, right? Well, It is on the road, wild card game. The Cowboys were, I think, undefeated at home for a huge long period of time, and Green Bay went in there and they basically hammered the Cowboys. What I will tell you is, if we're talking about fraudulent teams, that Cowboys team may have been a little fraudulent. If you go back to the four games prior to that Packer game, the Packer game itself, and then the eight games that they had Dak Prescott to start this year, right? So their last 13 games with Dak Prescott, including that game, the Cowboys are 5-8. So the four games before, they were 2-2 prior to that game. They lost to Green Bay in the playoffs. And then they were what? What does that leave? Like 3-5? I think 3-5 this year with Dak Prescott. So 5-8 in their last 13 games in that stretch. It's not exactly a great team, right? Now, if you want to give that a quality win, that's fine. I'm not against it. Like, it's still a good win. It's a playoff win. Again, we don't need to dig too deep here and like really just say, oh, every win is crappy because of X reasons, right? I'm not trying to do that. But I think you can also say that Cowboys team was probably not as good as we maybe thought it was at the time. And I think we saw that carry over into 2024 prior to Dak Prescott was healthy, even prior to him getting hurt. So 5-8 in their 13 games with Prescott, going again the four games before the Packers win, and then going into the eight games this year that they had Prescott for. It's not a great stretch of play from them, and Green Bay won in the middle of that stretch. Then their first quote unquote quality win this year was against the Rams, 10-6 Rams at this point, right? Well, they were 1-4 at the time, and they had no Cooper Kupp and no Puka Nacua. Their top two biggest playmakers were out of that game. Certainly affected them quite a bit, and they were not playing good football at the time. Now they've played a lot better since, and it still looks like a fine win, but I would, again, because of the injuries and because of where they were at the time, I would not necessarily consider that a great win. They have a win against the Texans, 9-7 team this year. Playoff team, yes, but not a good team. And they're 4-6 in their last 10 games. It's not exactly this huge signature win. And then you have the 9-7 Seahawks, who they beat, non-playoff team. It's a fine win on the road. It's like, you're not apologizing for these wins, but also Geno Smith goes out and Sam Howell, it plays a huge chunk of that game too. The point being is they have eight quote unquote good wins in 2 years, and the Saints, the Rams, the Cowboys, the Rams, even the Texans and the Seahawks, you can kind of write off to some point of saying of like, are those really that great of wins? And the only two that you can point to say, that's what I'm talking about, were Cowboys and Chiefs. They have two. They have two in the last 2 years. Two signature wins in two seasons. I'll even give you three if you want to count the Cowboys one. That'd be the third one. They're 0-6 in their last six chances at signature wins, going back to the 49ers game last year. And then their five, you know, Philly, two Detroit, two Minnesota this year. 0-6. In their last six chances at a good win against a good team. And if you go back, right, if you look at what they've done since that Lions Chiefs back to back, where like those were two awesome wins, since that point, they've played 23 games, had an awful loss to the Tommy DeVito Giants. They had the Baker Mayfield perfect game where the Buccaneers trounced them at home. Then you had a close win against the worst team in football in the Carolina Panthers that you barely won 33-30. Then you crushed the Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall Vikings. You had an 8-point win against the Bears on a must-win game to get into the playoffs. They won 17-9, but again, against a very bad Chicago team. You had the Cowboys win, which we talked about. You lost to the 49ers. You lost to the Eagles. You beat a bad Colts team, albeit with Malik Willis. You beat an awful Titans team, albeit with Malik Willis again. Then you lose to the Vikings. You beat the Rams with no Cooper Kupp, no Puka Nacua. You beat the Cardinals, which is a fine win. You beat the Texans, which is a fine win. You beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Malik Willis comes in that game. It wasn't the best, most convincing game in the world. It's a bad Jacksonville team, but they at least win the game. Lose to the Lions. You get a win against a really crappy Bears team. You get a win against the 49ers with Brandon Allen and a bunch of practice squad players. You beat the Dolphins at home. It's a fine win. It's not a good team. It's a fine win. Then you lose to the Lions. You beat the Seahawks again. Sam Howell comes in and Seahawks again. It's a fine win too. And then Saints win is a garbage team. who's the quarterback? Spencer Rattler's that quarterback. And again, just nobody, no weapons on offense. Olave's out, Kamara's out. It's a practice squad team, right? It's a preseason team. And then you lose to the Vikings. That's a 23 game stretch where that you're, again, are you a bad team merchant? Are you a team that's just winning against, you know, teams that have backup quarterbacks or are beat up or have extenuating circumstances or are just really bad football teams? When they've had opportunities to prove otherwise, they have not been able to do so. I'll say one more time, 0-6 in their last six games against legitimately good teams. Now, in those six games, they lost those six by a total of 25 points and only one of them by more than five, which is the Lions game that they lost by 10. So they've been in these games. It's been close. They're right there, but they have not been able to overcome. Now, you can only play the teams that are on your schedule. It is not their fault that they beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. You should get credit for winning the games that you should win. That is a sign of a good football team. Bad football teams lose those games. Green Bay is not a bad football team. We can very easily establish that they are not a bad football team. Like, you don't get to this stretch of games by being a bad team. You just don't. You don't constantly take care of the teams that you're supposed to by being a bad team. Bad teams don't do that. They lose games they shouldn't lose, right? Like, that's a sign of a bad team. Green Bay is clearly not a bad team. They've won games even with Malik Willis starting, with multitude of injuries on their side of things. They took care of business in their take care of business games. They've shown all the signs of being a good team. They just haven't shown any signs of being a great team. Now, I am not a believer in the idea that a team is a fraudulent team or anything like that. I think Green Bay is exactly who they are telling you they are right now. This is a great stat from Dari Carragher. Vegas is currently on a 12-0 run predicting the Packers games, which means over their last 12 games, when Green Bay is favored to win, they win. And when they are underdogs, they lose. It's sort of a predictable team. When they face a team that they should beat, they're going to win that game. But right now, when they face a team that is better than them, they lose. And that's kind of a problem with what's looking ahead to them. Now, if you want to look for some positives, Green Bay does have some four-game win streaks on their docket or on their like record books of the last couple of years. Last year, they went on a four-game win streak, but that was against the Panthers, the Vikings with Jaren Hall and Nick Mullins, the Bears, and then that Cowboys win in the first round of the playoffs. That was a four-game win streak. At least they showed they could win four in a row. This year, they won at the Rams, Cardinals at home, Texans at home, and then at Jacksonville. Not exactly a playoff gauntlet, but a decent four-game win streak there. So they showed that they can go on a four-game win streak, but that's not quite a at Philadelphia, at Minnesota, at Detroit, and then Super Bowl game gauntlet, right? That's going to be leagues and leagues harder of what they've had to accomplish so far. In fact, I would argue they don't have a four-game win streak or a four-game group of wins period at any point in time. If you put their best four wins together at Detroit, KC at home, at Dallas in the playoffs, and I don't know, maybe Texans this year at home, like that might be their best four wins. Those four wins combined, that's going to be easier than what they're probably going to have to face over these next four games come playoff time if they actually want to hoist the Lombardi trophy. Now, one thing I will say is that I don't know if you can look at this as a positive, so to speak, but the reason that the Packers are not winning these games is not because, oh, these teams are just light years better than the Packers. They're better because they're more consistent. They're more under control. They don't make the mistakes. But the reason that Green Bay is losing is because they are making the mistakes. They're the ones that are beating themselves. And again, that's not to take away anything from Detroit or Philly or Minnesota, who we know are good football teams. We know that to be the case. But it's Green Bay's own issues and own problems that is making it so that they cannot win these games that are there for them to win. I do not see it as this crazy, talent discrepancy between any team. I don't think there's any team that they are going to potentially face that they couldn't beat. And not even that, but like that it would be like, oh my God, I can't believe the Packers just beat them. You said they beat Philly. I'd be like, yeah, they can easily beat Philly. I think they can easily beat Minnesota. I think they can easily beat Detroit. Maybe easily is the wrong word, but I think they can beat any of those three teams. And it's not going to be like this massive upset. Now, going on a three-game win streak against all three, that might be a different story. But any one of those games, I don't know, Green Bay's 35-40% chance to win in any of them. And that might be even on the low side. And we're not talking about Green Bay being some major underdog here. So I would love if Green Bay just all of a sudden showed that, hey, they're not going to beat themselves anymore and things click into place. And then if that happens, maybe they can go on a run. Do I think they can? Yes. Have they shown us they can? Not even close. They haven't won one game. Not this year. Not really since arguably December of last year against the Chiefs. So to now all of a sudden say they're going to be able to make this unbelievable run, again, maybe I'm naive. I do think they can. But man, they're going to have to really prove it because they haven't shown it to us as of yet. So that means there's only one thing left to do. Win the whole effing thing. Go and do it. Go and do it. You listen. I hate the Packers are frauds. It's over. We're on to 2025. Let's see what Goody can do in the offseason. This is not meant to be a defeatist, it's done, it's over sort of conversation. It's really not. It's an honest conversation that Green Bay hasn't shown that they're that team yet. Football's weird. Football doesn't always have a exact start and end date of when you get hot or when things click into place. When it happens, it just happens. And now you can see it coming for some teams. And sometimes it never really comes to full fruition for other teams. And sometimes teams just don't have it. And right now, if I were a betting man and I were to say, I think it's more likely that they click into place and they make this unbelievable run, or that they're just missing something, they just don't have it, they probably just are missing something, or maybe just don't have that whatever it factor is to get them through a unbelievable stretch that they're about to encounter, or at least hopefully about to encounter. Otherwise, it could just be one and done, right? I think it's more likely that it's probably not going to happen. But I think it can. And I think that these things happen in strange ways. And it's not always readily apparent that it's right around the corner that it could happen. But it is very strange sometimes how you just get that one win. I think Green Bay and Philly in 2010 is a great example of that. You know, that was a tough game in Philly to open up with on the road going into Philly. You know, Michael Vick at quarterback, there's so many challenges that team presented, and to get that win there. And then I think then having to go against, you know, what was the NFC favorite in Atlanta, a team that beat them earlier in the year. I mean, that sounds familiar too, right? A team that, you know, they're probably going to have to go against teams that beat them earlier in the year. You know, going down to Atlanta and just, you know, kind of nuking the Falcons and catching them completely off guard. And the big play by Tremont before halftime and just sort of spiraled, right? And it was at that moment, the Tremont pick, in my opinion, was really the moment where, like, that's where everything really clicked, where it's like, it felt like that team really, truly believed in themselves. Like they could be something special. That was kind of the moment. And sometimes you just get that first pebble and maybe Green Bay does go into Philly and maybe Jalen Hurts isn't 100%, or you just get a win. Maybe it's a 3-point win. It's just a win. Maybe it's not super convincing. Maybe it's not whatever, but you just get that win. And then you go to the next week against Detroit, a team that, or Minnesota, whatever one it is. And maybe you just get the right set of circumstances on the right day. And maybe you win by 14, 17 points, something crazy. Just going there, everything clicks on offense. Your defense gets a couple big turnovers and you win big. And that now every ounce of momentum that you needed the entire time is right there. And now they believe in themselves. The game slows down and then they have that final test. Maybe again, maybe it's Detroit, maybe it's Tampa, maybe it's the Rams. Who knows who it is? But they have all that confidence now coming off the last game. They win the NFC Championship. They go to the Super Bowl. They get the right matchup and they win it. Like that's how these things happen. It just takes that one first domino, and all of a sudden things can start going very aggressively in your favor. it could also be that they just go 0-7 or in their seventh game with an opportunity to win. And once again, Vegas has them as underdogs and they lose. It could easily be that as well. So we're about to find out. And Green Bay is going to have to prove that they aren't just this team that beats on the teams that they should and can't beat the teams that they shouldn't. Like, it might be great that they're the seventh, eighth best team, but at some point, if you want to be a great team, you got to beat a team that's on the top. You got to get to that top of the mountain somehow. The only way to get there is through the really good teams. You can't win a Super Bowl by just going through bad teams. It's just not possible. You might get a favorable stretch of games that are, you know, good matchups for you. You can't fake your way to a Super Bowl win. There's just no way to do it. You got to beat good teams along the way. And that would certainly be the case for Green Bay this year. Super Bowl odds right now, Chiefs are the favorites at plus 360, Lions at plus 470, Bills plus 600, Ravens plus 650, Eagles plus 700, Vikings plus 800. Then the Packers are the seventh most likely at plus 1400. Everyone else is 2500 or above and is way, way far after that. But they're the seventh most likely team to win the Super Bowl. Plus 1400 from an implied probability standpoint is a 6.67% chance. So we'll just round that up to 6.7. Hell, we can even go up to 7%, or basically a little less than a 7% chance to win the Super Bowl right now. You're looking for signs of hope after maybe what was somewhat of a depressing episode. I'm sure you're glad to have me back, by the way. The Packers were at plus 1,200 or 7.7% chance to win the Super Bowl in 2010. Like I said, weird things happen. And you just got to have everything kind of go your way for a little bit. And the team starts to believe. And all of a sudden, magic. I don't know what's going to happen next for this Packers team. You've got a Bears game coming up this week that probably doesn't matter. Washington probably wins their game against Dallas. And you probably get the 7th seed no matter what. I would love to see Green Bay say, we're just going to trounce Chicago in the first half. It's going to be 31-3, and we're going to rest all of our starters in the second half. That's what I would love to see, is to make a point of like, we're going to go out and embarrass this stupid Bears team in the first half and then rest everyone in the second half. That's what I would like to see them do. Just go out and have a heater to start things off and just never look back. Just absolutely embarrass the Bears in the first half. Their season's done, and then rest everyone. That's what I want to see. But from there, how the remainder of the season goes, that's the beautiful mystery of the NFL. And if you want to bet that Green Bay goes out round one against Philly, assuming they get the 7th seed, I get it. I really do. That's a tough matchup. Philly's really good, and Green Bay hasn't beaten good teams. If you want to tell me that they find a way to get through the NFC and make it to the Super Bowl, I get it too. I think this team is talented enough. I really do. Defensive line gives me some real cause for concern. But I think there's enough talent there on the team as a whole. I think there's enough coaching. I think there's a right mix of players. Now it's up to the players themselves, the coaches, and this Green Bay Packers team to prove to us that they can go out, beat the best of the best, do something special, and who knows? I'll just say that. Who knows what happens from there? I'm not resigned to this being done over. I'm not saying they can't do it. I have a very tough task and a very tough challenge ahead of them. One game at a time. We'll start with a victory over the Bears this upcoming Sunday, which is always a fun thing to do. And then it's on. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited for the challenge that awaits the Packers. And I can't wait to see how they meet it head on. And either, you know, get punched in the face and have to learn from it, or find a way to overcome. And like I said, do something special with it. Should be a fun postseason and a very fun test for this very young Green Bay Packers team. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you all. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Mosaic Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Itaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Love and Football, Dylan Pat Scott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, and Allison Tuckwab. We'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.